The reading this morning is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verses 23 through 27. Proverbs 4, 23 through 27. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil.
We are grateful that you are here this morning. You're urged to fill out one of the attendance cards. We try to mention that each morning. It is important for the members to fill out one that we might put on your record that we keep in the office that you were here so that the elders will have a record. And we would appreciate information from you visitors. We like to know who's here. We like to follow up with those who are local that we might visit with you, especially if there's any need we can meet. At the bottom of the card, there's a place for comments. If you know of someone who is sick or other information that you need to get to us, please use that as an opportunity to give us the information. Congregation is to be commended for last Sunday's contribution. Our fifth Sundays, four of them each year, go toward our debt retirement, and we gave over $15,000 last week. At the same time, the other 48 Sundays are averaging so far well above our budget, and the congregation is certainly to be commended for that. We appreciate what all are doing. Helps us to be able to do a lot of things that we would not otherwise be able to do. I want to call your attention to the back of the announcement sheet at the bottom. This last week, I received an email from Julie Williams, who has moved to Nashville now to go to school. And she said that where she's going to church in Nashville, they not only put the sermon outline on the back, but they put something for the kids. And I decided I would try that today. And at the bottom, there is a place for the kids to watch and list the creatures that are mentioned in the sermon today. And you parents who have a child who is old enough to write or to print, old enough to listen in that way, might help them to use that. Sometimes I feel that we overlook our little ones in our services and maybe do not do anything that helps them to be able to listen and understand. And I want to try this at least for a week or two and see how it works. The road has two ditches. Sometimes we become so concerned about the ditch that's on the right that we overlook the one that's on the left. Or we become so concerned about the ditch that's on the left that we overlook and maybe run into the one that's on the right. That's true physically. It's also true spiritually. In the passage that was read from Proverbs 4, you notice he said, ponder the path of thy feet. The word path is used there in the sense of a road. Life is like a road. Later in that passage, he said, let all thy ways be established. I understand that to suggest that we need to recognize that there is a roadbed, there is a middle of the road, there is a road where we need to keep ourselves as we go through life. Sometimes as a teenager is leaving home, father may say, son, keep it between the ditches, or keep it in the middle of the road, meaning by that, stay away from the ditches and try to stay where you're supposed to stay in driving in the road. Later in that passage, he says, do not turn to the right hand nor to the left, suggesting that we need to watch both sides. And earlier, just before he says, ponder the path of thy feet, he says, let thine eyes look right on, suggesting that there needs to be the goal, and instead of just looking down where we are as we're driving or walking or living, we need to have our heads held high and we need to be looking ahead at what is down the road, so that we can keep it in the middle of the road and stay away from the ditches. There is a companion passage in Deuteronomy 5, verse 32. that says, Thou shalt observe to do therefore whatsoever the Lord thy God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand nor to the left. It's interesting in both of these passages that he mentions the right and the left. He didn't just say you need to be careful that you don't swerve to the right and stop. Neither did he say, take heed that you don't swerve to the left. But in the same sentence, he mentioned both of them. Thou shalt not turn, and notice the word aside. In other words, don't get out of the middle of the road. Don't get out of the roadbed where you're supposed to be traveling. And he said, you should not turn aside to the right hand nor to the left. I believe that this is somewhat the idea that Amos had in mind in Amos 5:19. When he said, as if a man were fleeing from a lion and a bear met him. Or he went into the house and leaned his hand upon a wall and a serpent bit him. Phillips translates that, fleeing from a lion and clutched by a bear. And some of the versions translate the word serpent there by the word snake. If you and I were out today and saw a lion coming in our direction, I think we would turn and go in the other direction. And frankly, you might have difficulty keeping up with me in going in the other direction. But if we turned from that lion and started in the other direction and saw a big bear standing there, would we not be in just as much trouble? Or if we were to flee from both of those and went into the house and put our hand upon the side of the wall or some fence or something, and there's a snake there, and we're bitten by that snake, and it's a poisonous snake, we still have problems that might result in just as much trouble as if we had run into the arms of the lion or into the arms of the bear. The idea is that we need to be careful about extremes. We need to be careful that we do not turn too far to the right hand nor to the left when we're dealing with spiritual matters. And frankly, I think it applies in the physical areas of life also. I think the lesson that we're presenting this morning could be very helpful for you to apply the principles in your business. And certainly it could be helpful to us in family relationships to stay away from the extremes. Not to go to the right hand nor to the left, not to run into the right ditch or to the left ditch. Now, as we try to make practical application of that and maybe understand it a little bit more as it applies to our lives today, notice some of the scriptures, about six of them, that I have placed on the back of the sheet in the outline. First, Matthew 16, verse 19. You will remember that verse 18 of that chapter is where Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And then in verse 19, he said to Peter and through him to the rest of the apostles and through them to the rest of us, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. A direct translation of that from the Greek might very well be, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. What Jesus is saying is, I am giving you the gospel. I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. I'm giving you the message to take to the people that can unlock the door. Give them what they need to unlock the door to get into the kingdom, into the church that I'm telling you I'm going to establish. And he says, I want you to be careful that you don't bind where God has not bound and you do not loose where God has not loosed. And folks, if there has ever been a time in the history of the church where we need to understand that, it is today. We usually think of the left as being liberal and the right as being conservative. And usually we set up our own selves as the center point and think that anybody that is more liberal than I am is to the left, and anybody that's more conservative than I am is to the right. And if we're not careful, we'll conclude, at least subconsciously, that either one to the right or the left is wrong, which may or may not be true. But it is true that we need to be careful that we do not go to either of those extremes. We have problems in the church today that certainly fit into the area of liberalism. I received an article just this week from a person who is high up in Christian education in another part of the country. And if I understand what he is saying in the quotes that are in this article, he is suggesting that baptism may not be for the remission of sins, or at least that we should not state that it is. It's not uncommon to get an article or to hear teaching today in the church that maybe baptism is not really necessary. Or maybe the observance of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, every first day of the week, is not needed. And it seems to me that there are those who are loosing where God has not loosed, and suggesting that we do not need to require what God really has required. But there is an overreaction to that. Particularly in my home area in Middle Tennessee, this is happening, where some who are concerned about those who are loosing, and rightly so concerned, are fleeing from the line and running into the arms of the bear, and going so far that there are some who are now saying, the church where I go is the only true church, all the others are false churches and have false teachers. And if you don't do everything exactly like I do it, then you are wrong. Down through the years, in my lifetime at least, problems have existed relative to benevolent work, care of orphans and widows, and mission work, whether or not there can be cooperation among congregations, that fit into this idea of binding where God has not bound. Folks, we need to be careful that we don't run into the ditch to the left or to the right, and that we keep ourselves in the middle of the road as far as our standard is concerned. We need to just let God's word be our standard. There's a lot being said today about what kind of church buildings ought to be used and whether or not a certain type building is right. And here again, I get articles almost every week where some are criticizing the type building. And you know, there's not a word in the Bible said about a church building. There's not a word said about an educational building. There's not a word said about an activity center. There's not a word said about a songbook or an air conditioner or lights. And if we're not careful, we'll allow ourselves to begin to bind where God has not bound, or react and overreact in the other direction and just go to where anything is okay, and maybe allow ourselves to get into the entertainment business instead of the gospel business. We need to stay in the middle of the road and stay out of the ditches. And we preachers can help that, as indicated in the next verse, 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. If he hadn't said anything else in that verse except those three words, that would have been good advice. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Preach it when people like it. Preach it even if they don't like it. Preach it when it's proper, preach it when it's not. Preach it. But then he says, reprove and rebuke and exhort. I think I know some preachers who do a much better job reproving and rebuking than they do exhorting. Yet I think I know some preachers who do a much better job exhorting than they do reproving and rebuking. It is easy for any of us, if we are not careful, to get into ruts. We preachers have the same problems that all do. And either go to the extreme of letting everything that we say be negative, always telling people what's wrong, especially when we talk to our young people, telling them you should not do this and you should not do that, and never preach anything that's positive. On the other hand, if we overreact to that and try to get out of that ditch, it's easy to go over to the other ditch and just start preaching what some are calling a positive gospel. Don't ever condemn anything. Don't ever tell anybody they're wrong. But just preach a positive gospel. When Paul said preach the word, he said you need to point out problems, reprove and rebuke, but you also need to tell people how to solve those problems in Jesus Christ. You need to exhort. We need to stay out of the right ditch. We need to stay out of the left ditch. And the best advice that can be given to any young preacher or any preacher is preach the word. Because if you preach the word, you'll stay in the path where God wants you to be. And if you teach the word and you read the word and you live by the word, that's the best insurance I know of keeping you out of the ditch on either side of the road. Well, look at the next verse, 2 Peter 2, two or three verses, 20 through 22. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled therein again, or entangled again therein, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to the wallowing in the mire. In this case, you have two different stages of life suggested. One is the stage before becoming a Christian, and one is the stage after one has become a Christian and has gone back into the world, returned to the world. This is one of the best passages to use when talking to people who say that you cannot go back, that you cannot fall from grace, that you cannot so sin as to be eternally lost. Because of two things. Number one, he says the latter end, the second ditch, is even worse than the first ditch. And the little word again in there is a key word. He says you are entangled therein again, which proves that you had to leave the first and get out of it before you could go back to it again. This is a tremendous passage when talking about this subject. But the point that I want you to see today is that Peter is saying, if you've never become a Christian, you're in a ditch. But if you get out of that ditch and get into the road of living for Christ, and then you're entangled therein again, you're running into the other ditch, as it were. And he says, not only is that just as bad, it's even worse. I understand the fact that it is worse to be, not that the ditch is necessarily deeper, but that sometimes it's harder to get out of the second ditch than it is the first one. But he's talking about two different stages of life. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you're not on the road living for Christ. But if you have gotten out of that ditch and have begun to live the Christian life, and you turn around and you're entangled again therein in sin, you've run into a condition that he says is another ditch, and he says it's even worse than the first one. We need to be concerned about both of them. Sometimes the person who's never become a Christian will say, I'm not going to be baptized and become a Christian because they're hypocrites in the church. They're those who are not living right. And so they let those who've run into that ditch keep them from getting out of the first ditch. On the other hand, those who are living in the second ditch as an unfaithful Christian may look at those who have never become Christians and console themselves by saying, well, I'm better than they are. At least I was baptized into Christ. Peter says there's two ditches. You've never become a Christian, if you're in that stage of life, or if you've become one and you've gone back into the world, if you're in that stage, understand this passage to say both of them are in a lost condition. It won't make any difference which stage you're in or which ditch you're in. If you're in the ditch, you're in the ditch. If you're lost, you're lost. Somewhat along that line, in Revelation, the 21st chapter and verse 8, there is given a list of sins. These are the ones that shall find their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. I think we have a tendency in our own personal thinking to begin with about the 7th or 8th or 9th word of that verse The murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. And we would say those who are living in the mire of sin are in the ditch. And those who are in the ditch of committing these sins are certainly lost. But notice what heads that list. The fearful and unbelieving. Had you ever thought that he puts those in the same list with the murderers and idolaters and liars? And isn't he saying that those who are the fearful, those who really are afraid to stand up and live for God, those who are the unbelieving, maybe just a person who doesn't have faith or doesn't have a faith strong enough to get him to act and to live for the Lord, he says the fearful and the unbelieving will also have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Which is worse, to be in the right ditch or the left ditch? They're both ditches. You can have a wreck on either side of the road. Certainly it's terrible for us to think about murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars. Those are the kind that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 as those who shall not have their part in the kingdom of God. But right at the first of the list, he says, the fearful and the unbelieving. And as we're talking about the Christian life and trying to stay in the middle of the road, consider two passages. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, referring to all the different ones he's mentioned in chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him despised the shame, endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Okay, number one, he says, you need to lay aside the weight and the sin that beset you. You need to get out of that ditch. You need to quit doing those things that violate the will of God. But then in the same sentence, he said, run with patience the race that is set before you. Is he not saying, folks, you need to get out of the ditch of committing sins, but you also need to get out of the ditch of omitting what God has commanded? How many times have you heard sin by commission, sin by omission? That's a good approach. That's exactly what he's saying here. Sometimes we'll say, well, I don't murder and I don't lie and I don't do these things. How would you like to have a baseball player who never made an error, but who also never got a hit? He said, not only are you to lay aside these things, surely there are some things you should not do. Get out of that ditch. But you cannot stay in the middle of the road in idleness. You just let a car idle in the middle of the road and you know what can happen. You may even get knocked in the ditch. He said, you've got to get out of that ditch of commission. But you need to run with patience. Don't allow yourself to get into the ditch of self-satisfaction and idleness and doing nothing. The road has two ditches. The companion passage is Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. And by the way, in passing, let me emphasize that teaches that the opportunity of our salvation is by God's grace. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, grace is teaching us, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, get out of it, get out of that ditch, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Get out of the ditch of sin, sins of commission. But when you get in that road of life, get busy and live. Don't idle, live, or you'll run into the other ditch, and it's just as bad. What he's saying, folks, is the problem is with extremes. I really believe that's the case. If we're talking about the standard, don't bind, don't loose. Preaching, the right combination of the positive and the negative. Stage in life, you can be lost by never becoming a Christian. You can be lost by becoming an erring Christian. Sin, oh, certainly those sins of commission, but also the sins of omission. Christian living, give up and take up. Get out of and get into the road and live for Jesus Christ. The road has two ditches. And we need to do everything that we can to avoid extremes. That's why we just simply need to become Christians, believe God's word, live by it, live in that straight and narrow road that Jesus describes in Matthew 7, look right on, keep our goal on heaven, and eventually be able to live with God in heaven. Stay out of the ditches. Stay in the middle of the road and live for Christ. If you are in the ditch of never having become a Christian, or you're in the ditch of going astray as a Christian, get back up on the road today by coming as together we stand and sing.
Render not to any other what alone.